Stephanie Gillard, the Producing Artistic Director at American Stage. Welcome to Spotlight, the American Stage podcast, where we illuminate the artistry and ideas behind the stories.
Hello, my name is Kristen Clippard. I'm the Associate Artistic Director here at American Stage. Thank you for joining us for the Spotlight Series podcast. And with me today is one of our most beloved talented actresses, Ms. Janice Stevens. Hi, Janice.
Hi.
We're so happy that you're with us for this show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be back.
So Janice is working with us on a digital production of Kate, The Unexamined Life of Katharine Hepburn by Rick Foster. And so we're going to delve deeply into the process, into the play. And so let's kick it right off, Janice. So I'm curious to know, how did this play first come to be? I'm told that Rick Foster wrote the show with you in mind. So you must have worked together before, huh?
Yes, Rick actually wrote a play about Vivian Leigh for me a number of years ago called Vivian. And it was actually a play that we took kind of all over the country, and I wound up in New York with it and got nominated for a Drama Desk Award. So we had a big success with that. And a few years back, around 2014, a very dear actor friend of mine who had retired because he was pretty on in his years, Mitch Agris, may he rest in peace, absolutely most wonderful actor, good friend of mine in Sacramento. Anyway, he was sitting around his apartment and watching the Dick Cavett interviews with Katharine Hepburn, which was the first time she ever appeared on television. And he got in touch with Rick and I right after, both of us, and he said, "You, Rick, must write a play for Janice about Kate Hepburn, because I just sit here listening to her and feeling like I'm hearing Janice in one ear and Kate in the other." So I thought that was a crazy idea, but Rick jumped on it. And not very long after this, maybe 2 or 3 months, he sent me the first draft of the script. And I'm telling you, I read it and I said, "Oh my God, this is fantastic." To use a word that she used an awful lot. And so we started getting serious about it, and I mentioned it to Michael Lawn, who's the producing artistic director at Sacramento Theater Company, and he said, we want to produce that. So they put it into the coming season, and then we had a real goal, you know, to get it together and up on its feet. And the rest is history, as they say.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Wow. So this story has been in your life, and this character has been living in your body and your brain for over 6 years now.
Yeah.
You know, it must be so interesting to play someone whom we all, you know, have an idea of who they are, and we have an image, but maybe we just don't know very much about them in depth. So what was appealing to you about playing the role of such an iconic person?
Well, I've done a lot of one-woman shows, and one of the appeals is always the big challenge of it, because carrying the whole load on your back is it's a big challenge, and you know you have to have a certain muscle for it, and I've developed that muscle over the years, and I like to bring it out and see if it's still there every once in a while. But with Kate in particular, she was such a fire, you know, brand, such a firecracker, and so much spirit, and an incredibly positive, as she says, optimistic with a capital O. But on the flip side of all of that more well-known part of her life and her career is the fact that Rick took a lens to what was happening for Kate in her elder years. But she lived well into her 90s. And what is a person who's had this extraordinary career and this amazing life, what happens when they can no longer work? They just don't have the energy and the aptitude for being able to jump on that horse and ride it any longer. And I think because my mother was in her last years, and I was dealing with her fading, and ultimately her death just before we opened the play. That idea of tracing the outlines of old age and how people cope and manage with it really appealed to me, just basically as a kind of a tribute to my own mother, who was very much a Kate Hepburn kind of figure. So I felt that it was a story that really had a lot to say, especially to in the fact that we have an aging population in this country and we have issues around how we take care of our elders. And I think it's important.
I'm so glad that you brought that up because, you know, she was certainly such a big force and a beautiful human being throughout her life and every stage of her life. But it is really unique to get to see her looking back at her experiences and talking about them. Was there something about the story that you personally connected to?
Well, like I say, you know, bringing my own mother's situation into it. Kate had a tragedy that I don't want to really give away right now for those people who don't know all of that, because it's kind of the core of the whole arc of the play. She had a tragedy very early on in her youth, and she didn't talk about it very much at all. And I do think that it had an enormous effect on who she became. And that definitely appealed to me because I was a very, very shy kid. I mean, pathologically shy. Couldn't even talk to relatives when they'd come to visit for the first hour. I just sat there mute. And to get up in front of the class and do anything, my mom and dad were never more surprised when in my high school years, I decided I was going to be an actress. It was like, what? Oh, no. Where'd that come from? But that thing that happens for us when we go through major shifts in our lives and it changes us somehow. And though I didn't, that wasn't exactly what happened in my life. My father did die a month after I graduated from high school. I think that is what I was already thinking of the theater, but that's really what pushed me because I said to myself, you know, life is just so short and you better make the most of it and you better follow your dream and go for it. And I think Kate determined that after she recovered and decided to move on. I think she determined that she was going to go for the gusto.
Yeah, she embodies that spirit of I'm going to grab life, you know, hard and run with it. And I think you do too, Janice, as well as a person. So
I tell you one thing that she and I both have in common. She says this in the Dick Cavett interviews. She says, I'm afraid every minute of my life. I'm scared to death. But you know what? You just got to keep on going. Go, 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 forward, forward, forward. Because what else are you going to do? And I think fear can be something that unless it takes you into a dark place, which of course it does for a lot of people, fear can be a huge motivator to take you up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, Janice, that's uncanny. I can't help but smile at this because you slip into her so easily. You mentioned before we started recording, I'm sorry, I've kind of got her in my voice right now. Yeah. I think it's so lovely. Was it when you originally started this role, was it hard to sort of adopt her rhythms and mannerisms?
Well, I spent a lot of time watching everything that's available. The Dick Cavett interviews as a kind of a core place to sit. And then all of her young movies and all of her later movies. And Golden Pond is kind of where we place her voice, even though she was older and the voice was very shaky and all of that because of the tremor. But you can't do that to an audience for, you know, 70 minutes. It would be a criminal. So, you know, you have to do something that you can stand to listen to.
And that you can sustain too.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, I could sustain that, but it would be terrible for all of us. But I find her voice something that, for whatever reason, it's something that kind of just sits naturally with me and I hope does not come off as a kind of mimic, because that's just the worst thing in the world. You know, you don't want to be the great mimicking comedian out there. You want to be a flesh and blood, three-dimensional person. So you get a flavor of it, and then you say, okay, that's it. Now, you know, I got to be in here with Kate myself. You know, we've got to share this space. And so, yeah, that's it.
We've talked a little bit about how the story reveals much more of her personal life. And certainly anybody who's read, you know, a biography about her or dug a little bit deeper might know some of these stories. But what do you think is going to intrigue the audience the most about Kate in this story, from this perspective, from this point in her life?
I think the fact that Rick Foster, the playwright, has offered up a voice that we didn't get to hear from Kate, even in her late interviews, which is the voice of her own conscience, looking back at her life and the choices she made, and saying, you know, a lot of it was good, but maybe there was a stumble here and there, and maybe I hid behind she called her public persona that she created. She called it her creature. And Rick adopted that for the play. And she talks about the creature a lot. The creature, you know, Tracy Lord. Oh, here I am. Aren't I wonderful? And hiding behind that, because she wanted to maintain her privacy. So, you know, bully for her. But how much do you get used to being in that mask, and what are you allowing yourself to experience of your own life as you keep having to maintain this public persona? And because she was raised by a father who was very much forward, always forward, don't look back, you know, keep on a going, yay for that. But what it begs is, where's the self-examination? And, you know, listen, since Socrates, you know, the unexamined life is not worth living. This play is really about Kate taking a night to examine some of the things that happened and trying to find out what was really underneath all of that. So I think that what Rick, the playwright, has chosen to focus on as an arc, certainly not the whole play, but as an arc for the play, can be a fascinating journey for the audience. And I think something that a lot of us very much understand, especially when you get to a certain age, you know, and you're sitting there and you're going, well, I've got, you know, 10, 20, if I'm lucky, 25 years left. And you look back a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that we get that opportunity to watch someone go through that experience, because we know what that is for ourselves. But, you know, sometimes when we see a celebrity, we think, oh, they've got it together. You know, they've got everything. They must be perfect. But then we get this, you know, unique look into her life, and we realize, oh, no, there's actually been, you know, pain along with the joy.
And, oh, yes.
And just like any human being.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, Janice, you have performed this role for a while, as we mentioned, and in many different venues, in real life, in person, in the flesh, such as you mentioned Sacramento, of course, but such as the beautiful historic Walnut Street Theater in Philadelphia. I'm mm-hmm. curious to know if you have a favorite venue that you've ever worked in.
Well, I tell you, oddly, it's going to be a theater that probably a lot of people haven't necessarily heard of, but I've worked there quite often over the years, and that is Lost Nation Theater in Montpelier, Vermont. And they have a stage that is just about as actor-friendly as you could possibly want. It's a lovely thrust. And the audience is on risers going up. So it's a little bit like playing in a small Greek theater, you know, that you've got the audience on a graduated hillside, more or less, and you're down there in the center of that. And they do beautiful sets, and it's just artistically a really lovely place to work. I like the people I work with there very much. And the audience, the Vermonters are, man, they are a wonderful bunch. They definitely tell it like it is. It's really good New England stuff. And of course, that's her, where she came from. Hartford, Connecticut, and all of that. And I loved playing in the show in that venue. But I've actually really found almost every venue I've been in that has been a good fit for this play. It doesn't want to be in a great big theater, that's for sure. It wants to be very intimate. And that's why actually this digital version of playing to the cameras, it's not that different. It's just that I don't have any warm bodies out there, but I do have a lot of warm air circulating around. A lot of it's my own hot air.
Well, I mean, that's such a lovely, like, little shout out to all the dark theaters out there that we miss going to in person. Oh. And we're, you know, so many of us are starting to step back into. But since let's talk about that. So you've had to adapt your performance for this to a two camera shooting style, more of a filmic kind of style. What has that been like to sort of to readjust to this new medium?
Yeah, I was a little bit fearful of it, and particularly just because I am a dyed-in-the-wool stage actress, and I'm used to filling, a theater space, and so you worry about your face, you worry about your voice being too big, your face being too, full of too much animation. The camera can really, I didn't want to look like Jim Carrey out there. Very quickly, though, working with Ben Ishmael, who's my director, he was very happy with it. Right at the end of the first day, he said, it's just not, you don't need to worry, it's not too big. And maybe that comes from, one, that I have played the show in smaller venues, and two, the show is intimate, and I can just... it isn't a problem to sit there and just talk like I'm talking to a long lost friend. And because the idea of the play is that she has summoned an audience of her imagination to be able to say what she needs to say, to tell the stories she needs to tell, to confess and reveal and, look for some kind of absolution in a way toward the end.
Right. Yeah, we don't want to give anything away, but I'm really excited to see the final production when it all is said and done. So, Janice, we can't not talk about Katharine Hepburn without talking about our favorite movies. I'm dying to know, what is your favorite film of hers?
Yeah, it's hard because she went through so many phases in her career. She had a couple of just smashing hits right off the bat with Bill of Divorcement and Morning Glory, which she won her first Oscar for, and Little Women. And then they didn't know what to do with her because she was just so not what Hollywood was used to. And so she had this kind of career crash and then came back just 1,000% with Tracy Lord and Philadelphia Story. Philadelphia Story is one of my absolute favorites. I love The Trojan Women because it's Kate in her later years before she got really shaky and the voice went very guttural. And she's not doing some of her tricks. She's really just playing Hecuba, and it's really good. The whole film is really good. Michael Kakianis, I think, is the director. But my favorite is Lion in Winter. I love that movie. I love her and Peter O'Toole together. I think they're just a great match. And they had a wonderful time working together, even though he called her Nag and she called him Pig. But
what a powerhouse.
Perfect, you know, for the film. It was perfect for Eleanor and Henry, because that's what the contentiousness in that relationship was, in, at least in terms of Goldman's script. And I just think it's a great iconic role of hers. I can't imagine anybody being a finer Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Peter O'Toole, oh my God, you know. Oh, it's just, ooh, it's delicious. Yeah.
I have to say, I love sort of some of the early to mid, like, I just love, like, the bringing up Baby with Cary Grant.
Oh, wonderful.
And just fun, you know?
Yeah. And all of her comic films with Spencer Tracy, I mean, Adam's Rib, Pat and Mike, oh, God, they're just killer. You know, they were the it couple for like a decade of doing these films with each other, because the whole country, you know, this is back in the 40s, 50s, I would say, ish, and they were the absolute iconic battle of the sexes, those two. But you always knew that they were going to fight like cats and dogs, and then they were going to go to bed together and everything was going to get solved till the next day.
Okay, I need to go and get on the TCM or something and binge some Hepburn films this weekend. I'm stoked. So, Janice Stevens, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Total pleasure, Kristen. Thank you for asking me.
We are so delighted that you're here, and I hope everyone will join us for the production of Kate.
I hope so, too.
Thank you for joining Spotlight, the American Stage podcast. For more American Stage programs and news, visit americanstage.org.